SEC fans, this is John Crist, senior writer for Saturday Down South. Welcome to another installment of the SDS podcast, coming to you from the iHeartMedia studio, WDAE in Tampa, Florida, 620 AM and 95.3 FM. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at SaturdayJC. This episode of the Saturday Down South podcast is brought to you by Holiday Inn Express. We'll continue right after this word from our sponsor.
Everybody loves Saturdays, especially down south. I'm Seth Freeman, head of the Holiday Express brand here in the Americas, and I'm so excited to announce our collaboration with Saturday Down South this fall. Holiday Inn Express is partnered with the SEC because we don't want anyone settling for ready on game day. We want you to be the readiest. Every Saturday throughout the fall, Holiday Inn Express will be at select college campuses to help fans get the readiest for college football. We'll be in Athens this Saturday with an unforgettable, immersive tailgate experience. You'll have the chance to virtually interact with Paul Feinbaum and tell him why your team deserves the SEC crown. We'll see you Saturday and get you the readiest before heading into Sanford Stadium. Don't forget to visit HolidayInnExpress.com to book your next college football trip.
And welcome back. Just so you listeners know, this is a very special episode. I'm quite pleased we were able to make this happen. We have two guests, and they are Marshall Morgan and Devon Gales. If those names sound familiar to you, you're not quite sure why, let me refresh your memory a little. But before I tell their story, let me welcome them to the program. Marshall, Devon, thank you so much for joining me today. Truthfully, I'm honored to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Honored to be here. Thank you.
Okay, just so I can get through the story real quickly. It was September 26, 2015, Georgia, traditional power at the FBS level in the SEC, was playing host to Southern, which, sorry, Devon, a lot of football fans like to say, it's a cupcake school at the FCS level in the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Marshall was a kicker for Georgia. Devon was the receiver for Southern, and with the score, I believe, 48-6 in the third quarter on a kickoff that you've seen 1,000 times before on television, Devon collided with Marshall right at the end of that play. And Devon, despite being the smallest player on the field, even smaller than the opposing kicker, he never shied away from contact in his career. And neither did Marshall, despite the fact that, you know, he's a kicker. He had a fantastic reputation as a tackler during his time in Athens. Long story short, Marshall walked away from that hit like he always had, and Devon didn't. Yeah, he didn't get up. And Devon suffered a spinal cord injury, and aside from movement in his arms, he was essentially paralyzed from the chest down. It's every football player's worst nightmare. It's every fan's nightmare watching. And more than anything, as the father of two small children, I can certainly tell you fellows that it's every parent's worst nightmare as well. But these two young men have formed the most unexpected bond, and ever since that fateful day, it's really nothing short of inspirational what's transpired between these two. I'm tired of trying to tell the story myself. Let's have them do it for us. I'm not doing it proper justice. So let's have Marshall and Devon on. And just so you guys know, the genesis for having you on the show was the video that you guys participated in with Bleacher Report very recently. I urge everyone listening, hunt down that video and watch. It's about 17 minutes long. If you can get through it without shedding a tear, whether it's a tear of sadness or a tear of joy, then you're simply not human. It's incredibly well done by the people at Bleacher Report. Very long intro, fellas. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having us. It's an honor.
All right, Marshall, let's start with you before we come on to the play in question. Give me sort of a scouting report of yourself as a football player before this all went down. Now, we know you were a great kicker between the hedges. You had a cup of coffee in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills. I know that you're sort of working a real man's job right now, but hopefully this phone is still ringing, getting a tryout at the NFL level. But tell me about Marshall Morgan, the football player.
Okay, well, you know, I was always in middle school, you know, that's when I started playing football, sixth grade. I was more of a defensive end, and, you know, I was more of a, you know, some people say kickers aren't really football players, which I don't believe, but I guess I played a legit position as a defensive end, and, you know, I dabbled in some receiver. And then once we had tryouts for kicker, coach goes, you know, anybody play soccer? Of course, I raised my hand. I played soccer since 5 years old. And so I made an extra point, and he thought that was, like, miraculous in, like, sixth grade. So I was the kicker, and, you know, as I progressed in high school, it turns out our local kicking guru, Coach Tim Conrad, he turned out to be my special teams coach at the high school. So that's probably what benefited me the most in my early career. And then I got to college on a scholarship to UGA and had a good 4 years kicking there. And, you know, it's always been a school known for, I guess it's kickers, you know, Kevin Butler, Blair Walsh, punter, you know, Drew Butler, like, just always had some good kickers. I don't want to, I mean, I tried to fit in that group, you know, I did my best.
You did just fine.
Well, thank you. And so, yeah, I was, I guess, more of a, aggressive kicker on the tackling squad because our, our coach always, I told him, I was like, I'm not going to, if the ball is coming at me, you know, I'm going to go for the guy and not shy away like, you know, some kickers would do. And then, I guess that was just my defensive end in me.
Devon, sort of do the same thing for us. I know that you weren't quite as heavily recruited in high school despite the production you had. You had a chance to walk on at Southern and had some big plays there and a lot of fun just watching you play. But if a scout was reading your player profile about Devon Gales, the player, what do you think he'd be reading?
I think it would say mean and gritty. I'm trying to stick my nose in something and just hit the biggest person because I was always the smallest guy from everybody else. And they will underestimate me. So after I would hit you, you would second guess that.
And your playing weight, I believe, was 158 pounds. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay, so let's move on to the play in question. And Marshall, if you would, just sort of give us your memory of that play from start to finish, from when you're lining the ball up on the tee until you see what unfolds on the field before, during, and after the play.
So, you know, I set the ball up on the tee just like any other kickoff, and, you know, I took my steps back, and, you know, the call on the play was a deep kickoff left, and, you know, a lot of times we liked it returnable because our kickoff coach had enough faith in our kickoff team to pin him down, you know, inside the 10, and so I would always try and put some good hang time under it, and it actually turned out to be a pretty good placement kick. From what I remember, it was left of the hash or whatever. And so I was tracking the guy. I was always, you know, the kicker on a kickoff is considered a safety. And we're like the last line of defense, I guess. And so I'm tracking the guy with the ball. He's running to his right, which is my left. He was running towards our sideline. And then I see, you know, number 33 coming at me. Like, super fast, you know, Devon's got some speed on him. And so I was, in my mind, I'm just trying to brace myself. I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to get laid out. And so I kind of lean forward, not to try and lay anyone out, but just to try and really absorb and not fall on my back type thing for impact. And, it's not like I make a tackle every time, but from my experience, I'll get popped back, but this time Devon, it was almost like when we made contact, he kind of just collapsed, and I kind of sensed, you know, it wasn't a normal hit, but I didn't really think anything of it because I'm used to, you know, them popping right back up, and so I'm walking over the sideline and thinking that he's gonna pop back up, and some of the players were like, dude, what happened? And I turn around and I see him still laying down and not moving. And that's when my heart sank and I started freaking out inside and was just hoping he was okay. And then I saw the stretcher come out and that's when I really, you know, was really, really worried. And, yeah, that was pretty much how it happened.
Devon, sort of the same question. One thing that I can't help but see when I watch the play over and over is that, remember, this is 48-6. Southern's not going to win this game. You go into this game, and you're not expected to even really compete. It's 48-6 late in the ball game, and you are going, for lack of a better term, balls out to help your team make a play on a kickoff return. So tell me how this play unfolded and exactly what you recall from how it started and, unfortunately, how it ended.
Well, at first, I wasn't supposed to be on it at first. I always practiced it, but never was called out to go in the game for it. So that was my first time. And they was telling me, you have to get the kicker. You have to get the kicker. That's the last man you have to stop before a tackle. So knowing me, I was going to – I was watching Morgan Marshall and I seen him, and I said, I got to take him up. This a big boy, but I gotta stick my nose in there. So I went straight down. I tried to stick my nose in there, and then it felt like everything just froze on me. So when I was when I went to the ground, I tried to get up, and I knew something was wrong. Because I wasn't able to get up, I wasn't able to move anything but my head and my arms at the time for a second. And my teammates was just saying, get up, get up. And I'm trying to get up, and it's real hard. So once I, Coach Ron and came to me and was like, are you okay? Can you feel this? Can you feel that? And I was like, no, I really can't. He said, I think you might have broken your neck. And I'm not thinking anything of it. I'm thinking of, like, if you break your arm, you'll be just fine after that. So they took me to the hospital or whatever, and I was basically, I didn't have anybody there that I really knew. They told me I had to have surgery that next morning. Was there anybody I wanted to talk to before I go into the surgery? And I told them, call my parents, because I knew they were worried, and they was all the way in Louisiana at the time. So I talked to them, and I told them I was okay. That next day, they was telling me Marshall was feeling like it was his fault when it wasn't. And they were just telling me how bad he was crying and just wanted to come lay his eyes on me. And knowing any other player, you know, somebody would have thought they would have hated you because you did this to their child, or their player would have hated you because you messed up their season. But no, he actually improved me in a whole different way. Like, other than football, I never would have met the amount of people I've met. I would have never been where I am now. And basically, this is a faith thing, believing in God. He put me here for not just me, but for him too, and the whole world. And I think we're gonna inspire people in ways that others don't know yet.
Now, fellas, the question that I don't think was really answered on the Bleacher Report video, and I don't want to just repeat everything that the video did. It's incredibly well done. Again, I urge everybody to watch it. But I want to know that what the relationship is like with the game of football for each of you. Now, Devon, that was the last play of your career, unfortunately. You'll never put on a helmet again. But Marshall, you still played. You had to play the rest of that game. You had to play the rest of that season. You're still hoping to continue playing. So, Marshall, let's start with you. Just your relationship to the game of football, still trying to be a player, finishing up your career between the hedges, and just knowing that this happened, has it changed your perspective on the game itself, even as you just sit around on Saturdays these days and watch as an alum?
I mean, yeah, it definitely has, and partly because of that, tragic situation And partly just because, you know, I guess I've grown up a little more since I've stopped playing, kind of thing. And I've noticed now that I'm on the other side, I'm a huge Georgia fan. It's funny, and not, you know, I'm not a player anymore. And I never really realized how much Georgia football means to these people, you know, not just in Athens, but in the state of Georgia and fans in other states. And it's like we've been winning, you know, we've had a good season so far this year, perfect season. And, you know, the city, I'm working at the bank, and people are coming in, everyone's smiling and happy. Like, it changes the whole tone of the city and people's emotions. And, you know, the way I look at it now is, you know, it's a sport, kind of like back when I was in middle school, and it's just on a lot bigger stage. You know, 92,000 come to these games instead of 92. And so I'm kind of looking at it like, you know, there's a lot more to life than football. And before, you know, before I graduated, it was like my life was football. And I guess I kind of, it's not a good thing, but my identity was kind of found in football. And so once I got that degree and actually had to put it to use, it kind of made me realize how important getting your degree is. And every time coach said, you know, focus on your academics, now I'm like, he was totally right. Like, I'm glad I passed my classes and all that. And, you know, I think it's a great sport. And, you know, there should be, you know, I don't know what rule changes, but, you know, certain safety barriers, because, you know, after that movie that came out about the concussions and, you know, with Devon's tragic accident, the, you know, spinal injuries, there should be something in place for that.
Devon, what about you? We know that everybody in the state of Louisiana is pulling for you. Everybody in the state of Georgia is pulling for you. Your rehab seems to be going tremendously well, and everybody is very confident you're going to walk again one day, and no one's more confident that you're going to be back to normal. But your relationship with the game of football, I don't think it's a leap to say that it's changed your life forever, both for good and for bad. But from the outside, this can be a very, very dire circumstance, and you wonder how you're going to get yourself out of it and how you're going to go on. When a football game is on, whether it's college on Saturday, whether it's an NFL game on Sunday, can you watch? How do you watch? What's your relationship with the game these days?
I love the sport. I loved it since I was 5 years old. I can watch the sport all day. It really doesn't affect me as much. I feel like I'm in the game sometimes. I just go out and I talk about it like a radio person would do. It really doesn't affect me as much. I've been loving football my whole life, and I don't think this injury is going to stop me from it.
That's really incredible to hear. And here's another thing I wanted to talk specifically with Marshall about. You know, Coach Richt is no longer a Georgian. He's now doing some great things in Miami. But if you know anything about Mark Richt, a lot of these football players get wired that, you know, it's all pigskin all the time and they're not human beings. But Coach Richt is a different kind of cat. And what's been incredible to watch from the outside is how the Georgia community wrapped its arms around this situation and did everything it could to rally around Devon and give him the help he needs. And he's sort of become an unofficial bulldog these days. And I want Marshall to give an opportunity to talk about how Coach Richt has gotten involved here and your loyalty to him. And quite frankly, if you had played for somebody else and not someone like Coach Richt, I don't know if this situation gets to where it is, where Devon is so beloved and so a part of the UGA family now. Talk about Coach Richt's role and how important that was, and really how amazing it is that the opposing school has embraced Devon the way it has.
You know, I think you're totally right on Coach Richt. I mean, the Georgia community embraced him. Like, he was almost like the UGA, you know, like the father. Like, you know, everyone looked at him as, like, a lot of guys on the team, you know, unfortunately some people didn't come from the best families. And, you know, they looked to him almost as like a father-like figure. And just the way that Coach Richt, you know, he's, you know, the master of football and, you know, he's our head coach. But on the other side, he takes family and relationships and academics, just they're just as important to him. And, you know, he makes sure and spread that onto us. And, you know, we start to realize and buy in on, you know, football is a sport, and it's our sport, and that's why we're here, because we're on scholarship for it. But, you know, there's also a lot more to life, such as, you know, your relationships and, you know, family and your academics and stuff. So he would always make sure that everyone, you know, was calling their parents and, you know, thanking them and just doing the right thing. He was all about doing the right thing, and, you know, everyone just respects him and thinks very highly of him for that.
Devon, give us sort of a snapshot of your life these days. Again, if you watch the Bleacher Report video, it can be difficult to watch, especially if you have children like I do. I would like to find out kind of the progress you've made. We had a chance to see some of that, but sort of compare and contrast what your life was like 2 years ago in the immediate aftermath of this injury versus today, in terms of how you go about your day, the support you get from your family and friends and the community around you. Just what was it like 2 years ago? And give us some good news for how things are going these days.
2 years ago, I can say I was basically doing the same thing Marshall was doing with football, just training every day, going to practice, doing the school, just basically everything, just walking. I would say it's just a little different. It's not really something that I really hang my head down on. I think the support of my family and everyone around me really keeps me in spirit, and I think that makes me a lot stronger than what I think I am. I really am blessed to have the family of Georgia and the family of Louisiana and everyone in the world just knowing our story and taking it as if we was their child. My life now, I'm a lot stronger than what I used to be when I first started. I'm able to feel a lot more in my legs. I can move it in the inside, but not on the out just yet. It's still toning up. I'm just blessed to have all this come back, and they say it takes time, but I can feel everything coming down when it does. And as long as everything coming down and still working, I know I'm going to be walking very soon.
Now, Marshall, when we watched the video, you talked about how when you go to the hospital and you meet Devon's mother and you two embrace and she doesn't blame you and she doesn't look at you as some sort of enemy or what have you. And then you had your meeting with Devon himself in the wheelchair on the sideline, and you had a chance to finally meet for real and embrace. And that was the moment for you where the guilt sort of went away and you were able to move on, and this incredible relationship has sprouted ever since. But I know it's sort of a weird way to ask a speculative question, but I don't think you would have been able to blame Devon's mother or Devon himself if they did not want to meet you or did not want to have a relationship with you and did maybe, quote unquote, blame you for what happened. But how much easier has this been for you to deal with the way the Gales family has embraced you and your role in this? And if they hadn't, how much more difficult would it be just for you to walk around every day with this burden?
You know, I just think that it was such a blessing that, you know, like I always say, God chose the strongest warrior for this to happen to in Devon. And, you know, I'm so glad that I wish this never would have happened. But since it happened, I'm glad the people were of such character as Devon and his family, you know, and they've made it so easy on me to kind of not feel guilt and, you know, just focus on supporting Devon's, you know, recovery. And if they weren't the family they were, and, you know, they did blame me and they didn't want to meet me, I would totally understand. And, you know, I'd probably still feel terrible about it. But, you know, they've just reassured me time and time again that, you know, they forgive me and that, you know, it's not my fault and that, you know, it's kind of the sport we signed up for. And, you know, it's very tragic and unfortunate, But, you know, it does happen sometimes in football. And, you know, just that hug when I gave Tish a huge hug at the hospital, that just, you know, that already helped right there. And then meeting Devon, you know, the person that it actually happened to on the field, and, you know, we just embraced, and I saw him, and, you know, that's just made everything feel so much better that they're so supportive, which in turn, you know, I show the same support back.
Devon, final question for you. It's been incredible the attitude you put on display in the face of tragedy, but was there ever a moment, whether it was in the immediate aftermath lying on the field or maybe in the hospital pre or post-op or maybe getting back home and realizing how irreparably your life has been changed, was there ever a time, ever a moment where you did question why this happened or maybe try to find a villain in all this and make it real easy to look at someone like Marshall and say this is his fault? Did you ever have those moments? And if you didn't, how is that even possible? Just because you're a human being and you want to blame people for things. And it's just incredible that you haven't. And the spirit you've showed has been commendable. But how you've been able to battle that, I think a lot of people question how if they would have the same kind of inner strength. I would love to hear your perspective on that, please.
You guys, again, I'm sorry. You lost me.
It's okay. I just want to know if there was ever a moment where you did want to blame Marshall, if there was ever a moment where you did not want to have a relationship with him. Was there ever a moment when you did look in the mirror and say, why did this happen to me?
No, never. I would never put that on him because I know that he felt the way he felt. And that would be selfish for me to put that on him. Just like he said, we signed up for the same sport. And to say sad, tragic accidents happen, but that's what you sign up for. Not saying that you want to get hurt, but that's the part of football. I've never put him in that situation because I know I wouldn't want that on me. I cherish him just like he cherished me. That's my brother. I would say I went home for a month and I realized I couldn't do the same things I used to, but I did it in a different way. And as long as I could do it in a different way and still get out there and do what I was doing before, hey, I was fine with that.
Marshall, Devon, I've been part of the football media for quite some time now, and sometimes when you see how the sausage is made up close and personal, it can get a little ugly sometimes. Writers like me are always accused of being too negative and oftentimes deservedly so. But I want to thank each of you for putting such a positive spin in what seems from the outside world like an impossible situation. You're both mature beyond your years. Best of luck in the future. And I can't wait to see how the rest of this beautiful story unfolds.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hey, that was Marshall Morgan and Devon Gales. You can follow Marshall on Twitter, by the way, at MarshallM13. You can also follow Devon at Devon Gales. And don't forget, go to Bleacher Report and watch that video story. It's a roller coaster of emotions, but you will be better for having watched it, I promise. Thank you for listening to the Saturday Down South podcast. Special thanks to our friends at WDAE in Tampa, as well as our sponsors, Holiday Inn Express. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe on iTunes or wherever your favorite podcast can be found. Be sure to give the show a rating as well. My name is John Crist, and for all SEC all the time, visit SaturdayDownSouth.com.